if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Good evening and welcome to Health Writers on the Air. I'll be your host this evening. My name is Steve Blank. I'm here with Sarah Eskridge of the Save Badger Care Coalition. Sarah, welcome to Health Writers.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, you know, Sarah, this is the holiday season, and it's a time for reflection and thinking about what we can do for others. Yet, right now, we're staring in the face of some pretty dramatic cuts to social programs in all of the commons. And here in Wisconsin, we're looking at cuts to Badger Care. Now, before we get into just how significant those cuts are and how they came about, let's back up for just a minute and explain exactly what is Badger Care, how is it funded, and who benefits from it?
Sure. So Badger Care is our state comprehensive Medicaid and CHIP funded program. So that means it's a health program for low-income working families below a certain income, federal poverty income level. And it's funded with 60% federal dollars and 40% state dollars. And we have a very comprehensive and unique program here in Wisconsin that merges multiple health programs together. So Badger Care includes children, parents, some childless adults, as well as people in long-term care facilities, elderly people who are supplementing their Medicare with Medicaid through programs like family care and senior care. So we wrap all of our programs into Badger Care and serve about 1.2 million residents of Wisconsin.
That's a lot of people.
It is. It sure is.
Now, back in the spring when the budget repair bill passed, the legislature granted the Department of Health Services room to make changes to Badger Care. But they didn't really release a lot of the details until this fall.
Yep, that's correct.
How significant are these cuts going to be?
So these cuts are going to be hugely significant. And the part that you mentioned is particularly significant, that in the budget bill, the legislature did give over authority to make these changes that actually change state statutes to the hands of our Secretary of Health Services, Dennis Smith, who's an unelected official. He's in an appointed position. And those changes had a very minimal legislative oversight process. So only the changes that directly conflicted with state statutes had to go through the Joint Finance Committee this fall. And it wasn't until that point, as you mentioned, that we got the details. In the budget bill, there was a very general overview of the types of changes that might be pursued by the department. But we were waiting all summer and for most of the fall to get a more detailed outline. And it wasn't really until Halloween Eve on October 31st that we got more details. And this was after the department had held hearings on how they would find cost efficiencies in Medicaid without these details. So it was a really poorly designed process in the Save Badger Care Coalition's view because people didn't know what they were commenting on when they were commenting to the department. It really wasn't until those last minutes of the changes that did go to the federal government for final approval on November 10th. So you can see that the details were only public for a few days since they didn't come out in full until October 31st, and they were passed through the Joint Finance Committee on November 10th.
I suppose that's one way to get bad legislation passed is to, you know, once it's clear that there's significant opposition, just not to release any details and not to invite any public input or discourse.
Right, and no opportunity for meaningful public input because the people who were affected didn't have enough of an idea of what these changes were really going to mean for their families, which is, as you were saying, just a horrible thing to have happening during this holiday season. People are thinking about their health insurance when they should be thinking about spending time with their families.
Now, as a member of the Save Badger Care Coalition, what kind of input have you been getting from the public? What have you learned? How is this going to affect families in Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, after we saw the lack of public input the Department of Health Services had garnered on their own, we went forward as a Save Badger Care Coalition with members of the legislature to hold statewide public hearings. So we held hearings with hundreds of people throughout the state. There were 7 hearings all the way from Wausau to La Crosse to Eau Claire to Milwaukee to Green Bay. So a really wide geographic swath of the state. And heard, we shared a brief presentation of these changes with people and really heard concern over a couple of the changes that I'll mention. So one of the changes that people were particularly concerned about is this change in the definition of family income and size. This change counts, right, currently the people who are in the program of Badger Care, their income and number of adults and children counts towards their eligibility determination. One of the proposed changes for the Department of Health Services would change that determination to count the income of all adults living in the household except grandparents. So in these tough economic times when people were telling us they're living with their sister, they're living with a friend, those roommates, those family members' incomes would be counted towards the family's Badger Care eligibility determination without counting the expenses or those people in the family size. So people are really concerned about losing their eligibility because they're trying to save money and live with family and friends during these hard times. So we heard a lot of concern about that particular policy item from people throughout the state.
You know, Sarah, before you move on to the next
sure.
one, that kind of draconian imposition of such low limits, once again, it seems to be, in my opinion at least, it just backfires. It's an incentive for people not to work. It's an incentive for people to say, well, look, if I go out and work, flip these burgers, whatever, for minimum wage, I'm sacrificing my health care plan.
Right. Well, and also doing things that make sense financially so that the family has the resources to, as you're saying, live with a family member while they're working so their sister can take care of their kids while they're out, you know, on the job, and sharing those household responsibilities is really discouraged, which, as you're saying, is a completely draconian change.
Yeah, penalizing people for doing what to most of us seems like common sense and hard work.
Absolutely.
What was the next point you were going to make?
So one of the other concerns that we heard loud and clear in these public hearings from young people in particular, as well as their parents, was a change that mandates that all people 19 to 26 years old, if they are eligible to be on their parents' insurance, it mandates that they take it and makes them ineligible for Badger Care. So we heard from young adults who are on the Badger Care program right now and are incredibly concerned that they're going to be cut off and expected to join their family's plan when their family may live states away. So we've got young people who are here working but not offered health insurance because, as we know, young people are having a really hard time finding jobs right now, let alone finding jobs that offer them benefits. And so if these people have high health care needs that, you know, a chronic condition that mandates that they get care, they, on a more regular basis, and their parents, who do have employer-sponsored insurance in California, can't help them out for those regular visits. So they were really concerned about losing their Badger Care eligibility because it's just impractical to think that all parents are going to be able to put their kids on their plan when, you know, circumstances dictate that that's just not always a possibility. It's a great provision This provision in particular in some ways mimics the Affordable Health Care Act federal health care reform in saying that 26-year-olds can stay on their insurance, their parents' insurance, if that works for them. But this, the way the Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin is implementing that, makes it a mandate, which just doesn't work for families and for young people in the state.
When the details came out, how much money is being cut from the Badger Care program?
So we know now that we've been hearing this number of $500 million for months and months and months. And we saw that the state share of that, so as I said, the program is funded with both federal dollars and state dollars, and the changes being proposed would be about $220 million state dollars. So that's the bulk of the cuts, which are a significant portion of money. But really, in terms of the budget for the Medicaid program, the cuts are not, that are being mandated, are not hugely, are not a huge portion of the budget, but they are substantive cuts.
And how many people do you think will be affected?
So we now know, and this is one of those things, Steve, that we didn't find out until 48 hours before that hearing on November 10th, when we got the Legislative Fiscal Bureau memo with the department's estimated numbers of people who will be affected. And we know that 64,000 people would lose their Badger Care coverage if this waiver were to go through. And that's just the waiver-related changes. We know additionally that there's an alternative benchmark plan that's also at the federal government for review, which would impact over 200,000 people on the program. We're thinking about 268,000 people who would have increased co-pays and fewer benefits in the alternative benchmark plan if this were to be passed.
Sarah, tell me about this sort of arbitrary deadline of December 31st. How did that come about, and what is that a deadline for exactly?
Sure. So this deadline was really put into the budget so the administration could have it both ways. We do describe it as an arbitrary deadline because that's what it is. It was written into the budget that if by December 31st the federal government hadn't granted the state this waiver that would cut 64,000 people from the Badger Care program, they would instead remove 53,000 adults from the program in April. So this deadline puts the onus on the federal government to get back to the state much, much too quickly on this waiver. And the federal government has said that the state has not given them enough time. They've had a little over a month with this waiver. You know, just discussed the scope of this waiver, and waivers like this usually take months of negotiation back and forth with states and the federal government. And so this deadline that says if this waiver isn't passed, they would cut 53,000 adults from the program is really a deadline that was put into the budget by the legislature and by the administration that's going to cause more harm than is necessary, because the cuts wouldn't go into place. The people wouldn't actually lose their coverage until the spring. So there's many, many months in there where negotiations could be happening between the federal government and the state to help preserve eligibility for these adults and kids and families in the Badger Care program.
And what role is your coalition, the Save Badger Care Coalition, playing? What kind of, is it grassroots activity that you're trying to generate? What are you trying to do to stop these changes?
You know, it's all the above. We're working, as I said, we're a coalition who's been doing these statewide hearings to make sure that the voices of enrollees, of eligibility workers, of families, of community members are heard, and they're both educated about these cuts and can share with the Department of Health Services here in the state and with the federal government their concerns about the cuts. And we're also working on a broader policy level. We've met with the Department of Health Services. We've met with many legislators to talk about these changes, to share our concerns, to share the concerns that we've been hearing from people throughout the state. So as a coalition of about 50 organizations and thousands of individual members, we really see our role as a voice for enrollees, a place to share concerns, a place to share information, and get that information to the right places at the right times to hopefully starve off the most detrimental parts of these cuts.
And how can our listeners get involved with your efforts?
We would urge everyone to visit our website, savebadgercare.org, sign up to receive email alerts, and we've actually been finding a lot of success on Facebook. So if you go on to Facebook and search Save Badger Care and like us, that's one of the places we've really found success in sharing information immediately and getting responses and sharing actions that people can take when it's the right time to write their legislature or when it's the right time to write the Department of Health Services or the right time to write the federal government. We'll share that with people. And right now, Steve, I would just say it's the time to contact the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services within the federal Department of Health and Human Services and tell them that they should reject this waiver from Wisconsin that would cause 64,000 people to lose their health care.
Does the Save Badger Care Coalition have a website?
They do, savebadgercare.org.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Before you go, I actually did want to ask you sort of a broader question, if you don't mind,
sure.
About just about this attack on the commons. I mean, it's international. We're at the forefront of it here in Wisconsin with Governor Walker. But do you sort of connect the dots when you think about what's happening to healthcare? Do you connect the dots to what's happening to public education and housing, the foreclosures that are happening to people? How does that work for you?
Absolutely. I mean, the assault on low-income working families that's been happening in this state and, as you said, throughout the country is really just detrimental. And we know that it's because our politicians, our administration here in the state has been making choices. And they've had better ways to make these budget cuts. If you look at the health care cuts alone, and you didn't give all the tax breaks to corporations, the tax breaks to corporations could have paid for this Medicaid deficit that we're in. So we know that people are making choices, and their choices are harming low-income families, and that's just not acceptable.
Sarah Eskridge, I want to thank you for being our guest on Health Writers.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Happy holidays.
You too.
In life, the Marleys had been business partners with a shrewd moneylender named Ebenezer Scrooge. You will meet him as he comes around that corner.
Where?
There.
When?
Now. There he is, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Say, is it getting cold around here? Whew.
When a cold wind blows, it chills you to the bone.
But there's nothing in nature that freezes your heart like years of being alone.
It paints you with indifference like a lady paints with rouge.
And the worst of the worst,
the most hated and cursed,
is the one that we call Scrooge.
Unkind as any,
and the wrath of many,
this is Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, there goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If they gave a prize for being mean, the winner would be him.
Old Scrooge, he loves his money, 'cause he thinks it gives him power.
If he became a flavor, you can bet he would be sour.
Even the vegetables don't like him.
There goes Mr. Skinflint, there goes Mr. Green,
the undisputed master of the underhanded deeds.
He charges folks a fortune for his dark and drafty houses,
as poor folk live in misery.
It's even worse for mouses.
Please, sir, I want some cheese.
He must be so lonely, he must be so sad. He goes to extremes to convince us he's bad.
He's really a victim of fear and of pride.
Look close and there must be a sweet man inside.
Nah.
rage. There goes Mr. Sneer.
He has no time for friends or fun.
His anger makes that clear.
Don't ask him for a favor, cause his nastiness increases.
No crust of bread for those in need.
No cheeses for us nieces.
Scrooge liked the cold. He was hard and sharp as a flint, secret and self-contained, as solitary as an oyster.
There goes Mr. Heartless. There goes Mr. Cruel.
He never gives, he only takes. He lets his hunger rule.
If being mean's a way of life, you practice and rehearse.
Then all that work is paying off, cause Scrooge is getting worse.
Every day and every way,
Humbug.
Well, that was the first of two Christmas carols you'll hear tonight on Health Writers. And as you heard before the music, I asked Sarah Eskridge from the Save Badger Care Coalition to talk about the broad assault on the commons beyond the dismantling of badger care in Wisconsin. And she described the long list of austerity measures being levied upon people as unacceptable. Now, however metaphorical the amount 99% may be, the fact is almost all of us are vulnerable to global capitalism's broad assault, and a growing proportion of us are not accepting it. Some of us resist struggling by struggling for socialism, and others for anarcho-syndicalism. But most people just know that capitalism, greed, and corrupt politics are what got us here. And what's really exciting is this sudden universal recognition that everything has to change. And things are changing. I mean, I can't believe some of the conversations I've heard in 2011. Thanksgiving discussions with family members and neighbors that began with football scores and TV episodes suddenly veered off into economics and social justice. Hey, did you see that guy make that steal? It was amazing. Yeah, I did see it. Blank Fine should be in jail. And nobody should be kicked out of their home until he and all them bankers are flipping burgers at Mickey D's. Yeah, it's been that type of a year. I'll remember 2011 as the year that started it all. People are rising up. They're fed up, and they're mad as hell. But that being said, the Occupy movement is more than just a Howard Beale moment.
So, I want you to get up now.
Sorry, Howard.
I want
anger is
you
certainly
to get up
a part of the
chairs.
Occupy movement, but
I want you to get up.
We're not just sticking our heads out the window and screaming we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. People know that real change has to come from below, what Sharon Smith calls the subterranean fire. And that takes organizing. And it's also organic. It's like a healthy vine spreading in all different directions across the globe. Change begins not with a violent overthrow, but when people begin to act collectively and support each other in community. Community is the answer. We need each other. But community is what's scaring the 1% and our brothers and sisters who haven't yet caught on. Aside from mocking our tents and protests, they're now making community a crime. Walker says we can't assemble in our house without a permit. The homeless can no longer seek daytime shelter from the cold in our basement. Unions are a waste. Public education is the problem. Single-payer health care is socialism. Badger care is not business-friendly. Community is a crime. Yesterday, I read about two men in Orlando, Florida, who were arrested for distributing food to the hungry in a public park. If helping the homeless is criminal behavior, what does that say about the Christmas spirit? Here in Madison, there's a new committee on homelessness and foreclosures. These folks want to keep people who are facing foreclosures in their homes, and they want to put homeless people in abandoned homes. So if you live in Madison and the banks are trying to take your home, you're not alone. You have a community of allies. Call the Committee on Homelessness and Foreclosures at 608-520-0289. Or if your New Year's resolution is to help in this struggle, you might want to call the Committee on Homelessness and Foreclosures at 608-520-0289. Or visit cohaf.wordpress.com. Well, that just about does it for tonight's program. Tune in on January 12th for the next Health Writers. In the meantime, visit our website and listen to past editions of the program at healthwriters.wordpress.com. Let's hear a recording of the 12 Days of Walker from the Solidarity Singers this past Sunday. I'm sorry, Monday. Sing-along in defiance of the new ban on assembling without a permit.
Ninth day of his term, Scott Walker took from us a united DNA.